Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from north and south.
Good morning. As I thought about what to talk about this morning, I decided to put my words on paper to make it more organized and easier to understand. There's two groups of people here, first of all. Either you're here because you have to be, because you don't have enough chapels, or you're here because you actually enjoy chapel. My goal in this is to kind of reach both at the same time, but to bring everyone into that second category. It's all about perspective. The stage is set. The sun has set on a beautiful Saturday evening in Florida, and as the orange sun fades behind the tree line, the scent of pure competition is in the air. I stand by the midfield stripe, waiting for my name to be called in the starting lineups for the NCCAA National Championship match. I am overcome by 4 years of emotions as I await the final game of my collegiate career. Just a few hours before, as I sat impatiently in our hotel room, waiting for the afternoon to evaporate, I received a text message from my father. The message read a few simple yet meaningful words. 1 Timothy 4:8. For physical ability has some value, but godliness is valuable in every way. It holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. I finished reading this passage, and a helplessness came over me. It finally hit me that I had reached the pinnacle of my soccer career, and that this was it. No matter what happened tonight, I was done. As my years of athletic competition flashed through my mind from high school to college soccer, I realized how much I had taken for granted. I always told myself it would never end and that I would always have next year to look forward to, but this was it. And as I battled with my brothers on that field last Saturday night, I cherished every second of those 90 minutes. After the game ended and we eventually boarded a plane to return to campus, I had plenty of time to think about the events of the weekend. I sat there in a piece of metal far above the clouds, and God gave me a new perspective on life. With the passing of my grandmother earlier in this month and the ending of a significant phase in my life, God showed me how blessed I am and how selfish I am as a fallen sinner when I take for granted the things that he has done for me. It's all about perspective. But how can I speak of these things without admitting the greatest blessing of all? Jesus Christ sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for my sin and to bear the weight of the world on his shoulders. As 1 Peter 2:24 states, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And yet I still take this ultimate gift for granted. Ephesians 2:8-9 states, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man may boast. Romans 5:8 affirms this truth as well. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And finally, 1 John 4:9 paints this picture as well. This is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God continues to bless me and you, and we turn our backs towards him and curse his name when we have a tough workload during finals or when we have to sit through a boring chapel service once a week with no drums. We all, like sheep, have gone astray and made our way down to the Matheny Fieldhouse for another chapel, which we will try to find the cutest girl on the other side of the bleachers. It's all about perspective. Have you ever thought how blessed you are to be able to commune with other believers on a daily basis and grow together through the most important years of our lives? As a freshman, I believed chapel was a hangout where whispering was the best form of communication. Sophomore year, I thought of chapel as a great time to study for my quiz at 11:15. It wasn't until my junior year when I began to grasp the impact chapel can have on a person. Now this year, I believe I fully realize what's going on here. These college years are the most influential years of our lives. Don't take these opportunities for granted. The opportunities God gives us each and every day. Opportunities he gives us as young and maturing students to hear from the life experiences of people who have already had an effect on the world for the good of God's kingdom. And so I challenge you today, as a fellow student who has just as many things to do and people to see on a Wednesday morning, to stop and evaluate the way you view chapel next semester. I challenge you to pause and listen to the pastors and leaders who give of their time to help us realize God's many blessings. Remember, it's all about perspective. Because if you don't, you will eventually be in my position as a senior wishing I didn't take these times for granted. You will find yourself at the age of 25 at your job in corporate America, wishing you could just stop for a few minutes and commune with other believers as we do on a daily basis. Francis Chan stated in the book Crazy Love, quote, "It is true that God may have called you to be exactly where you are, but it is absolutely vital to grasp that he didn't call you there so that you could settle in and live your life in comfort and superficial peace." And finally, remember how blessed you are to live in a country that you can worship your God freely. Remember how blessed you are to attend a school that has not forgotten who created our minds and who has given us the ability to retain knowledge and learn new things about this created order. Remember how blessed you are to be a child of God. Remember how blessed you are to be wrapped in the arms of a God who loves you in your very worst state. Remember, it's all about perspective. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Your forgiveness is so good that I struggle with believing it at times. Thank you for rescuing me from myself and giving me your Holy Spirit. Your love is better than life. Thank you for teaching us new things each day and for maturing us through life experiences. Thank you for the blessing it is to be a part of a community of believers and to be in the world, but not of it. God, we bring before you the senior class that will be graduating early, one short week from now. Be with them as they start a new life a few months before the rest of their classmates. Help them to find good jobs and be their guiding light as they experience a new phase of life. Help them to stay close to you in the good times as well as the bad. Finally, God, we pray that we would not take your blessings for granted and that we would immerse ourselves in the moment you have placed us. Help us become more like you each day. All these things we pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, who created the stars from nothing and yet gave himself up so that we might be saved. Amen.
Let's turn to Psalm 116, which was written this very semester, this arrangement for us to sing. What shall I give back to God? We shouldn't take these things for granted. How do we thank God for all the things he's done for us? By giving ourselves, our lives to him and to his service. That's how we thank him. Please stand and join us singing 116.
What shall I give back to God for all that he has done for me? I will lift high the cup of salvation, praising God for saving me. I love the Lord since he hears every time I call out to him. He said, call me anytime. So each day I talk with the Lord. What shall I give back to God for all that he has done for me? I will lift high the cup of salvation, praising God for saving me. Death had wrapped me all around. Hell was hard against my heels. Looked and did not know where to turn. Then I cried, save my life, O Lord. What shall I give back to God for all that he has done for me? I will lift high the cup of salvation, praising God for saving me. God in mercy makes all things right. He takes care of people brought low. That was me till he saved my soul. Now I rest in his bountiful grace. What shall I give back to God for all that he has done for me? I will lift high the cup of salvation, praising God for saving me. Soul, you've been rescued from death. You've been rescued from tears. Foot, you've been kept from stumbling. So on earth I walk with the Lord. What shall I give back to God for all that he has done for me? I will lift high the cup of salvation, praising God for saving me.
Thanks. Please have a seat. The next reflection we'll have today is from Ryan Salyards, sophomore. He's going to speak with us.
Morning, again. Extra good morning. On the downhill slope of a dirt road, west of a small one-room cabin, there flows a creek whose memory winds through the minds of those who have grown to love the place through which it runs. Strung between a tree with the names of many a relative carved in its bark and an ancient pine, a bridge hangs above the water and the rocks below. My great-grandfather had a farm there once and left the ground for his family to love as he once had. He loved that place and made it his home, and his love echoed through the lives of his children. His daughter married a man of meager means, the man who would become my grandfather, and the place shaped them as much as their work shaped the place. My grandfather would head to the woods after a shift at the factory and on the weekends, hauling whatever scrap lumber and used nails he could scrounge during the week to work on the cabin that stands there now. When my grandmother became ill, the place became his sanctuary, and the work his restoration. For the 10 years she lay in a coma, the place was in many ways a home for my grandfather and my mother. In recent years, as he grows older and is unable to do as much, the upkeep of the place has fallen to me. I built that bridge last summer. The bridge my grandfather had built had begun to sag and creak with each crossing. The water's not deep there at the creek, and there's no real need for a bridge. But the sight of that which had given me much had beckoned and perhaps called me to give, to make an offering of thanks for the beauty and love it has inexplicably yet inescapably sown to my memory. It was there by that bridge that I first kissed a girl with her feet dangling in the water, dunked my cousins in the swimming hole after family picnics, caught many a trout in the cool of a spring morning, and sat around the fire talking about life, love, and faith with friends knit together by the bonds of brotherhood. A sense of culpability, of obligation, and responsibility for the well-being of that place drew me there to work on that bridge, and draws me there still. The bridge stands creaking and sagging no more, as a path to the woods beyond, a memorial of the place where it stands, of those who have loved it in the past, and those who love it still. I paint this picture of a place that I love, not as one who has invested in a place as I should have, but as one blessed by attachment, by a place that I always can and always will call my home. While few of us can say with confidence that we have planted our roots and truly invested in a place as we should, I think Russ and Bethany Warren are a living demonstration of what it means to make a home, to love a place, and to be a part of a community. Being one of those who spends more time up at Bifcat than is good for my studies, it is needless to say that I was excited to hear that Russ and Bethany were speaking at chapel a few weeks ago. While it was neat to hear them talk about Bifcat, the place that I love, my sacred place here at Geneva, I think that it was even more beneficial that their questions and their talk brought the questions that their talk brought to my mind. In discussing their calling, they talked about an aspect of calling often overlooked. While most of us think merely of calling in terms of the occupation or the career that we will have after we graduate, they told of their own consideration of a place in discerning their calling. See, we often overlook answering the question, where shall we be, in the attempt to answer the question, what shall we do? For me personally, where I am called to be has been perhaps more of a primary question than what I should do. But in either case, and in every case, we are called to invest in a place, to make some place our home. If we stop and consider what we are as human beings, I think we'll find that to be human is to be fundamentally a homemaker. Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. This speaks of our responsibility as those who live in this earth created for the purpose of God's glory. Elsewhere, Jeremiah 29:4-7 says, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the prosperity and peace of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You see, we as Christians and as human beings are called and created to make a home, to invest in a place. Furthermore, if we as humans are made in the image of God, and if we as Christians are called to conform to the image of Christ, then we have an even greater example of the call to invest in a place and to make a home. The season is here during which we celebrate the coming of Christ to earth. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel. This Christ, our Savior, whose birth we celebrate this month, is named Emmanuel, God with us. And Revelation 21 goes on to say that the dwelling of God is with man. And Christ proclaims in that chapter that he is making all things new. Perhaps you remember from New Testament survey class that Christ's primary message was one of kingdom. See, Christ came to establish his kingdom, to build a home for the family of God. Scripture says that in this time, in the time we know as the already and the not yet, that the kingdom of God is among you. So we can say with all assurance, as it rings throughout history, created order, and Scripture, that Christ is King of all. Colossians 1:15-20 says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. All things, whether heaven and on earth, that means Geneva's campus, that means my podunk hometown, all things, if we view the work of Christ in its fullness, if we appreciate redemption as it is, we must look to his investment in this place, to his love for our home, for his home, for the kingdom and the family for which he died. For Christ has invested, he has paid a greater price than we can ever imagine so that we may call his kingdom our home. Knowing that his kingdom is now among us and all will someday be reconciled to him in its fullness, we must live as members of that kingdom, as children of the king. So as you walk by Bifcat on your way to class, maybe when you stop to get a cup of coffee, or perhaps as you pass it on your way home for break, think of the example of Russ and Bethany Warren. But even now, as you hear me drone on, and as you breathe in and breathe out, look to the example of Christ and give thanks for the price that he paid, for his investment, and for your membership in his kingdom. And whether it be on the main street of a one-horse farming town or Route 18 through Beaver Falls, find a place for yourself to invest in. Find yourself a place to exhibit life lived in the kingdom of God so that others may see that better is one day in the courts of the Lord than a thousand elsewhere. Whether it be here or there, whether it be now or in the future, whether you are or may be, live knowing that this place, that place, every place belongs to your Father. Plant your roots deep and make yourself at home. Amen.
Let us pray. O God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you. We worship you and adore you for the fact that you made this creation and all the universes a sanctuary, your sanctuary, that attests to your glory and your perfection, your excellence and your beauty. We pray, O God, that you would give us eyes to see its comeliness, its excellence, its beauty, even in the place that we're located right now. And so we praise you this morning for the sanctuary of creation itself, and we praise you that in Christ becoming incarnate in the flesh, that he sanctified this creation again and declared it a good thing. Help us to see in our place, in this place of Geneva College, in this location of Beaver Falls, its incredible beauty that speaks afresh of your grace. We thank you, Lord, that it's in the midst of beauty that you beckon us and call us. It's just an expression of our connection to you that you woo us to worship you in all of our lives. And we thank you that you have infallibly secured the excellencies of your creation and all universes and human life in the redemption of Jesus Christ, who brought grace and brings grace in sanctifying it afresh. And so it is in this Advent season that we look forward to the new heavens and the new earth, where this act of redemption, accomplished victoriously on the cross and in the resurrection of your eternally begotten Son and our Savior, will come to conclusion in life everlasting, where all that is redeemed may sing the praises of the glorious God rightly forever and ever. And so it's in your name, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we pray these things this morning. Thank you for Ryan and this message. Amen.
Several times this semester, someone has brought to our attention something that we ought to do differently, some area of our lives that we need to turn over to the Lord. We've sung about how we're asking God to examine our hearts. And we even have sung a few times Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. Because it is only God who can create in us that new heart to worship Him and be His people. Please stand with me and let's sing Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. And renew a right spirit within me.
Next, we're going to hear from Zach Harvey. Please be seated.
Hello, everyone. Hey. Hey, I'm Zach Harvey. I like to introduce myself when I talk, kill some time, because I usually go through it really fast. I'm the DC and Pierce represent. So I was asked to talk about how a specific chapel or several chapel speakers had impacted me, and how they had impacted me. And so it's really just chapel this year in general has impacted me in a very, to me, profound way. Like, some of the chapel speakers that had a big impact on me were Brian Bolt, Rich Grassel, Courtney Roble, Ken Medema, Kenny Crosswhite, and Greg Helvey. And God used all these people to impact me in a very similar way. And through hearing their stories and what they had to say, what I learned was, yeah, they each had their own individual point they were trying to make, but I really learned that how to love my brothers and sisters in Christ better. You know, do we think of those people as our brothers and sisters of Christ? I don't know when or where I realized that, like, that's actually what it is. These people that come before us and speak to us from distant lands and whatnot, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't think we, myself included, have been treating them like that. My grandpa talks about how we all have ants crawling around in our brains. Now, my grandpa's not crazy. I'm not talking about literal ants. I'm talking about an acronym, automatic negative thoughts. This is a psychological term that's applied to people with anxiety, but I think we're all guilty of them to an extent. And you're probably thinking, well, what are some examples of ants, automatic negative thoughts? We all think them. Wow. Oh, sorry. That guy was obnoxious. I don't think that was an appropriate message for chapel. That subject matter wasn't appropriate for chapel. I think I was weird, and his application of the scriptures was way off. How can he be a Christian in that environment? How could he really be a Christian in that environment? He didn't even mention Jesus' name one time. That wasn't appropriate for chapel. And I think the worst part is when thoughts become words. I've heard all these things said, and I've said some of these things and other things, just criticisms about these chapel speakers. And I think it's really easy for us to sit in these seats and on these bleachers completely detached from the reality of the human being that is standing before us and sharing their hearts and sharing their thoughts and how they see things. And they've been shown the love of Christ in such a profound way, and all we have to say is criticisms. I'm guilty of it myself. So I want to talk about how we can combat this with love, this critical spirit that we can combat, I think, with love. John 13, I think it's 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." I think this goes really well with the collect that we read, actually. I thought that was a God thing. "Give us grace to love others with the love that you lavish on us through Christ." How can we lavish love on our brothers and sisters in Christ who come up here and speak to us? Because whether or not we like what they say, whether or not we like the way they act or the way they think or the way that they see things, they're part of this family, this body of Christ, and they deserve love and respect from us. So what it looks like, I think, for me, and what God's been teaching me how to love these people, what it looks like for me to love them is to understand that there is so much more to these people than we could ever know. You know, they're more than what we see when they come up here. And, you know, I had the privilege of getting a behind-the-scenes look at some of these people. There's a lot of extracurricular activities you could go to and hear them speak. And have, if you're in the right classes, you can have dinner with these people. And I was blessed with the opportunity to take part in some of these things. And what I kind of learned through that is that maybe the guy who survived a gunshot wound to the face is going to be a little bit excited about the fact that Jesus Christ is in his life. And maybe the person who's in an environment that I think, or we think, isn't conducive for faith, they're surrounded by wealth, how, you know, money is the root of all evil, maybe that person is heartbroken daily by the brokenness he sees amongst the wealthy. And maybe the guy who didn't mention Jesus' name one time during chapel isn't used to talking in front of Christians. And maybe he's been through more persecution and criticism than I ever have for my faith. And for his faith, that's what he's gone through. I think we just need to get over ourselves and get over the things that make us uncomfortable. Because there's so much more to these people than what we see when they're up here. Because I don't think chapel's about you. I don't think chapel's about me. And I don't even think it's really about the speakers. I don't know the statement of what chapel is about. I haven't looked into that. But I want to believe that chapel is about God being glorified. And it doesn't matter if the person thinks the way we think is the right way to think, or says all the right things that we want them to say, or mentions the name of Jesus, because God can glorify himself in any situation, really. We can fill in the blanks and understand that there's more to this person than what we see. I'm kind of saying that a lot. That's the point I have here. We really got to figure out sometimes how things apply to ourselves. We're so used to being spoon-fed. We get those nice words like Jesus, Bible, God, worldview. Like, we're spoon-fed all these words, and if we're cut off from that, we're like, what's happening? I don't know. What is this guy talking about? I just think that we complain a lot. I complain a lot. I really do. I'm not like attacking you guys. This is something that God has revealed to me. And just that these people are beloved children of God. They're beloved children of God. God has taught me this year that as someone guilty of these criticisms, that miracles are standing before us. These people coming up and talking to us, they're miracles. Everyone in this room who knows Christ, I think is a miracle. Because I think if you understand the human condition, It's just a miracle. I think before we let one automatic negative thought, one little ant crawl around in our brain, we need to just be able to just praise God for this person. Just praise God for the work that he's done in this person and where he's brought him out of the miry clay. I love that song, Psalm. And I think another thing we need to do is we need to ask ourselves, okay, why is this really making me uncomfortable? Just because he's not acting the way I'm used to or talking about something that may make me feel uncomfortable, you know, understanding that maybe I'm the one who's wrong in feeling uncomfortable. And third, I think we just need to fill in the blanks. We need to say, look, yeah, there's more to this person, and I can figure out how this applies to my faith on my own. This is a Christian college, you know, getting a Christian education. I think we're able to do that. And we need to be open to what God has in store for us through these speakers, because I think he has so much more in store for us than for us to criticize the chapel speakers. He can speak through them. He really can. Conclusion, we need to love everyone that we come in contact with, and this is just how God has shown me a way to love the chapel speakers, and it's to, appreciate them more maybe and not have so many bad things to say. That's all I got.
Please pray with me. God, we pray that you would fill us with your love. It's something that doesn't come naturally to us, and it's something that can be scary when we're confronted with people who are different, whose doctrine is scary or confusing or frustrating. God, give us the love that Christ has, and I just thank you for this message that reminds us to look beyond ourselves, and that's something that we need you to do in our hearts. Help us to love in our words, in our actions, and renew our minds, God, as you have promised to do in our new life in Christ. Just help us to move beyond our discomfort, to step into the love that you've called us to. And I pray that you would help us to trust that you can change our hearts and our attitudes about chapel and about just any area in our lives where we've been unwilling to express love to others. Just thank you again for the speakers who've come to talk to us today, and pray that you would remind us of their words and help us to hold your truth in our hearts. Amen.